And do you ever lie awake at night? You know, you're going to bed, and then about an hour or so after you got there, you were going over and over and over things again. Well, that's Psalm 77. Here's the choir master. Here's the orchestra leader. Here's the promenade leader, just like we had last night. Jerusalem lies desolate. Syrians came. Israel has been taken away captive. Hey God, why did you let it happen? And Asaph can't sleep. And he groans and he thinks about the terrible events he's witnessed. Now, let me read. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out my untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. Have you got it in your Bible? Selah. Hey, you better go a note higher. And the disappointment, the despair, the depression, he's lost hope. He says, I'm refusing to be comforted. And then he's got to take a note higher. He's been remembering the wrong things. He's been overwhelmed by the darkness of despair because of what's happened. So he's got to reprogram his memory. You see, you kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remember my songs in the night. My heart mused, my spirit inquired. Will the Lord? He's got all sorts of questions now. Will the Lord reject forever? No. Will he never show his favor again? Of course he will. Has his unfailing love vanished forever? No. Has his promise failed for all time? No. Has God forgotten to be merciful? No. Has he in anger withheld his compassion? No. Selah, pitch your note at another level. Go one step higher while you're thinking this thing through. And then I thought. Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember. Oh, now. This is how you reprogram your memory. And you remember the right things. He's starting to look up. To this will I appeal. The years of the right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works, consider all your mighty deeds. For your ways, O God, are holy. And what God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. And with your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Hey, and he got even a note higher. Selah. Come on, kick it up. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down their water. The skies resounded with thunder. And your arrows flashed back and forth. And your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. And your lightning lit up the world. And the earth trembled and quaked. And your path led through the sea. Your way led through the sea. Your way led through the sea. Your way went through the mighty waters. And though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock, like a shepherd. Oh, you had some people to help, Moses and Aaron. that you're led. Your people. Let your people. He stops as abruptly as that. Doesn't finish anymore. Boom. It's over and done with. Nothing more to be said. Because if I say you're led, then I know you will lead. Hey, my time's going this morning. Have you got some quick announcements? Did you see the pictures this week? What happened in Japan? Japan is so located that there's the constant typhoon that blows through. There's the constant surging waves. And the devastation again. Winds of 135 mile an hour. And the floodwaters that came beforehand. Let me take you back a century or so. There's a man in one of the villages working on the hillside, on the I couldn't call it a mountain, but it was high up. And he had such a wonderful crop, an amazing crop, the best crop it seemed he'd had. And he was thinking, boy, this is going to make me rich. And then he looked out. He didn't have technology. He didn't have meteorological reports. He didn't have a satellite up in the sky to show him what's going to happen. And he looked out and he saw that tsunami, that wave that was coming. See what he did? He set fire to his crop, which instantly meant that down in the village, somebody saw the fire up there and they rang the bell down here. And they knew it was a danger signal, so they all went up the side. And they were saying, shall we put the fire out? They were help trying to help. He said, no, look. And there was the wave. There was the wave, like the wave that came this week with all our sophisticated stuff. We didn't even warn anybody about it. And 300 people have lost their lives. On that day, 400 people from that village. Okay, the village was trashed in many ways, but 400 people kept their life because one man burned what was most precious to him. You know, I came to talk to you this morning about finding God's way. Last week, I talked about the way. We have people who are people of the way, God's way. But this psalmist says, your way is in the sea. Your path led through the sea. What's this all about? You know? Well, our God, our Heavenly Father, gave up something that he held very dear. Something that was the richest of the rich, his dear son. With the strangest of plans, a mystery all of its own, that Jesus would come and give his life as a sacrifice at Calvary for sin. And yet, millions since have found the way, have experienced salvation through faith in him. And we boast that salvation is free, but the cost, it's an enormous price that was paid. Do you ever wonder the way God does things? I've been talking to you from the Psalms throughout August and so on, because they all have tremendous, striking illustrations for us. But here's one. How do you get this? How do you get this? The mood, the rhythm of this song changes. And 1 minute, it's a song. No, it's not a song, it's a sigh. Oh, God. Then it's the song, and it's about trouble, and then it's about triumph. the song changes because he starts to think about the God who has led his people primarily and particularly then through the Red Sea. And the three great powers in nature are the sky and the mountains and the sea. And all the way through the Old Testament particularly, they figure conspicuously. And the psalmist never forget, this is the, and all the prophets, this is the background against which the drama of life is played out. And I say they were thinking particularly of the Red Sea, but it's this phrase, your way is in the sea. Now we paint on a larger canvas, we glimpse a phrase that Exodus could never exhaust. Lessons for today, principles for now. Let me show you three things. I can hope I get the time. The sea is a place of dread, of malevolence. Two places on the earth that the Jews feared more than anything else, the desert and the wilderness, with the wild beasts and the burning sun and so on. The haunt of robbers who plundered the Jewish villages. It's across the desert that the armies marched onto Jerusalem to pillage and to destroy it. They dreaded the desert and the wilderness and the sea. About 4 weeks ago, I talked to you how they thought if you went east, if you went west, you fell off the sea. But the sea was the other. The sea was full of storm and in Jewish eyes of treachery. It was cruel. It seemed hungry and violent. It had insatiable depths to it. Now, we're an island nation. It's hard for us to grasp what's at the back of all of this. We think the sea is a bulwark around the United Kingdom, around Great Britain. But to the Hebrew, it was different. No rapture for him when he stood on a lonely shore. He loved the fields and the vineyards and the markets. But the element he dreaded was the sea. And now comes the voice of one of their greatest singers, the guy who is their master choir master. Here comes the guy who is the orchestra leader. Here's the guy who's penned songs alongside David. And he starts to sing this song, and it's about the sea. Announcing to the people that God's way is in the sea, in the very sphere of the element that they feared and dreaded. And he's saying that there you can find God. Now that's a totally new idea. They loved the gardens and the fields. God was there. That's what they believed. They loved the vineyards because God was there. Places that are sweet and dear to them. They sensed the presence of God. And now they're being faced with something that was just as true. In the realm of something that they feared, something that they found threatening, something that they found terrible, something that they instinctively shunned, there was this clear and ordered path of the footsteps of God. Your way, your path is in the sea. Can we learn lessons from that? Can we learn that God's way is in the things that we dread? We easily forget when the experience we loathe arrives, We love, all of us love to be well. We all love health. And then debilitating sickness comes. We all love success. And then we have to live with disappointment and failure. We all love energy, vitality, the dynamic of life. We don't like to stand by the casket when everything is still, and by the cold grave. Things we dread. Your way is in the sea. And they're being cajoled and called to believe that God is working out his purposes through what is dark as well as what is through bright. And so must we. We must believe that what is hardest to bear, that it seems we will never understand, that things seem disordered and pathless. I don't understand. Mark, I don't understand the path we've trod for 56 years, but I just know it was his way, was in the sea. His footsteps were there. Time, time, and time again. And if you could take this morning the thing that is the greatest thing you dread, the greatest thing that disturbs you. We had little Tashi crying here before most of you came. Toxic divorce, an abusive father, and he's upset her again this week, and Maggie had to help her and so on, and I came and prayed with her. Thing she dreads. So Dad, thinking he's going to come and murder her mom and her and me. You have something like that? What's the thing you dread? I want to tell you, God's way is in the sea. In the things you dread. You see, there are two things here. There's a purpose in it all, always. God is working his purpose out as year succeeds year, is what we sing. He wants us to know all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his glorious purpose. There's a purpose in it all, and there's a plan behind it all. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you, not to harm you. Intentional. Going past our mistakes, offering forgiveness for our tomorrow, creating expectation and excitement as we live his kind of way. His ways in the sea. The sea was a place of dread, malevolence for the Hebrew. And yet it was also a place of mystery. For us, the mystery of the sea has long since disappeared. The world has been explored, it's been mapped, you can see the photographs, you can get the videos, you can watch the TV, and you can sense the mystery and the wonder has made it all disappear, the mystery of the sea. No, you haven't. Follow the Whitbread race. Those lonely soldiers and sailors. Follow them. You want to know about the mystery of the sea? Follow them. You see? My sister came here in May, and they took a trip from Perth. Fremantle, they live in Perth, from Fremantle to Tilbury. And she said, what was the most disturbing part of the trip? It was 45 days on the water. We were 7 days on the Indian Ocean and we didn't see anyone or anything. The mystery of the sea. There's this mystery of distance. It stretches away. It's silent, it's unbroken, it's unknown. It somehow seems infinite, illimitable. Distance as far as your eye can see. It took us on beyond there. So what lies out there? Good or bad? Helpful or hurtful, harmful? Who knows? The mystery of distance and the mystery of depths. What secrets lie deep, deep there? Ships that have foundered and sunk. Treasures galore, tragedies buried on the seabed, unfathomable depths. We try to explore it, it still goes deeper. And those two things are but a reflection of life. Look beyond. Where are we going? Where are we going? How far? It's the journey. What will it take? And there's something in us that suggests eternity. And rightly the scripture I said, God has put eternity in our hearts. But then, what is your time? 80 years and 10. And if by reason of your strength, 80 or more. Many of us are 80 or more. What's the distance? What's the distance for a living? It's not the achievements of man which are mysterious, but the things that are beyond his grasp. What he longs for, what he hopes for, what he hungers for. And then this other one. You look beyond. And I look within. I look within. People call you. Oh, I know Dave. I know this girl here and this one here. And I know Sylvia. No, you don't. You know what you see, you know how you've touched their lives, you know how you've touched mine. You don't know the depths. You don't know the depths, the longings, things that concern and trouble you, the possibilities and the powers and the passions that are latent in each of us. And sometimes we can't put into words the depths within us. And you know what Jesus came to do? He came to deal with those two mysteries. Because he would look beyond. Other men strained their eyes to speculate and guess the future and hope and try to imagine. And he says, no, eternity was my abode. And I came because I prepared a place for you there to take you there. He knows what is in the distance of our futures. And he knows what's in the darkness of our hearts. And there's got a touch from him that can deal with all the feelings I couldn't articulate to you. But I can tell him. And all the things you can't talk about to anybody else, you can talk about to him. You know, again and again and again, as you read the gospel accounts of his encounter with men and women, he understood them. People instantly knew that he understood. They thought, yes, rich young man. And it says Jesus saw him and he loved him. He didn't stay. He didn't make it right. He was bound up with his religion, and his religious rules would keep him empty. But Jesus saw the depths. If he'd have said yes to Jesus, oh, life would have been in a new dimension. And then there's the restlessness of the sea. Oh, I think I talked to you earlier about Psalm 107. You know, when that magnificent moment, he describes men on the sea, tossed to and fro like drunken men at their wits' end, and he brings them to the safe harbor. That's the sea, always restless. One day calm, as if it were asleep, and the next day tossed and turned and torn. And God's way is in the sea. And I look at men and women that I have to touch and meet with and rub shoulders with every day of week, and I see the restlessness as a consequence of sin. And you say, is God's way in that? Yes, it's there. That's why we must discover grace. If you're restless because there are things in your life that you need to put right, it's grace. We'll be there. The unrest in our lives, the fears, the tormentors, the frustrations and the irritations. I mean, we're not talking of God working in a stagnant pool. He's talking about him being in the restlessness, because this is not your rest. He fills us with hope so we can rise after every failure, so we can put all the disappointments behind us, so we can keep going and keep striving. We can say with Paul, for me to live is Christ. He's my Savior, he's my Redeemer, he's my Conqueror, he's my Empowerer. He's the coming King of Kings, and I'm one of his children, I'm one of his followers, and he'll give me his peace. I want to tell you one more thing. You know, I want to get you to this. You know the sea? There's, I don't know how to put it in another word. There's a mutuality about it. All the seas come together. Where does the Atlantic Ocean end and the Pacific begin? And where does the... Got me? The seas just run. When I'm in Brazil and I'm up in the north, and if I go up the Amazon, there's the confluence of a couple of rivers, and you can only tell one is darker than the other, and before you know it, there's the sea. There's no walls, no partition. Say, well, this is this and that's that. It's the meeting place of all the waters. And God's way is in the sea. You know, you were very kind to Joyce and to myself when it was our golden wedding. And you gave us a gift. And we decided we would take a cruise from Tampa to the Caribbean islands. And I'm in a board meeting. I'm in a committee meeting. A board meeting is what the Americans call it. And we had an appeal that there was a problem in the Caymans. And we were scratching our heads all around the table. How on earth do you get to the Cayman Islands? I said, the first port of call that Joyce and I will be on the celebration of our golden wedding will be the Caymans. So you get the name of the guy, you do all you want to do, and I'll call on him. We have a day ashore, I'll deal with it. And Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, was coming through. As we got on board the ship at Tampa, the thunder and the lightning was streaking and the rain was pouring, because that's the edge of every storm. And I've been ringing the guy saying, where's the name of the man? Where's his number? And they couldn't give it me. And Joyce said, this is a waste of your time. No. And we were heading for the Caymans. And Katrina was surging this way. So we're in effect on the very edge of Hurricane Katrina. And it was pushing the vessel over in this direction. And we came into a berth that was never intended. It wasn't really the best, but we were pushed into this berth. And we got off, the rain's still coming down. And Joyce said, what are you going to do? And we came through just like this, through the security gate. And the distance from here to where you are at the back was the road. And on the other side of the pavement was the Congregational Church. His way was in the sea. We'd have gone over there, I wouldn't have known it was over here. So we went, the door was open, we went around, and Joyce said, there's nobody here. I said, no, wait on. I go up the stairs, and there's a guy sitting here in a chair. I introduced myself, he introduced himself, he said, I shouldn't be here. I'm on holiday, but I've come back for a funeral. And we, in 2 hours, he took me, Joyce came along, and we dealt with the problem. We established 11 centers and so on. It was the economic crisis and what have you. Who pushed me from over there to over here? His way was in the sea. Why did I ask you to sing How Great Thou Art? Because I was on the Marco Polo conducting the worship services. We were up into the Lofton Islands with way up beyond the Arctic Circle. Sunday morning just like this, and I gathered the people together in the theatre, and we sang How Great Thou Art. The next stop, the North Pole. I'm preaching down in South Africa, and Clive, my best friend from school days, says, before we leave the church, you've just finished your preaching. And he took me to the tip. We just drove to the very tip of Africa. And the farthest point there is Antarctica. And all around us was the sea. And God's way was there. God's way was there. I'm preaching about him on the sea, way up in the Arctic. And I'm preaching about him. We're singing How Great Thou Art up here, and we're singing it down here. And the only next place to get to is the Antarctic. And all around us is this amazing God. I could talk about the Micronesian Islands, exactly the same. I have been the most privileged man. Listen to me. I preached the messages on board the ship and in those places that are preached here. I had to try them out so John could give me a time, because if we're going to go through another language, I would know how much time I had and so on. You prayed for me. You gave to these folk. You were part of this coming together of the waters. You see, what I came to tell you is this: God's plan can and will lead through the sea that you're sailing on at this moment of your life. So, 2 things. I'm only just going to give you the heads. So we can have hope and we can have harmony. We can be together in this. And I want to be as abrupt as the psalmist. You led us, you'll lead us. Because your way is in the sea. Oh, praise his name. Teach me thy way, O Lord.